move and have our being. Amen. I want to take you to a very familiar passage of scripture that the Holy Spirit just began to minister to me about, amen, to share with you today. Amen. From the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, amen, we want to look at this story, amen, from the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, amen, chapter 17, that has a very powerful message for us as the people of God to understand and recognize that God is concerned about us. Amen. We are not forgotten. We are not abandoned. Amen. But God is just holding us in a waiting pattern. We're just waiting to explode. We're coming back. Amen. We're coming out. Amen. In victory. So I want to read just one verse from the text. Amen. Just for our beginning. Amen. From 1 Kings 17. Let's look at we'll read two verses, verse 15 and verse 16. Amen. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he, notice this now, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Amen. That's very powerful in understanding. Amen. To know that every time we turn on the news and we look around and we're trying to see what's going on, what are the bleak moments and situations and the outlook of our community, of our world, and we look at the job market, the housing situation, and we're looking at all the major components, amen, that impact our livelihood. And the question might be, well, Lord, how in the world are we going to come back from all of this? Will we recover? Will we be able, amen, to resustain ourselves and to bounce back and have vigor in our lives like before? Amen. But we must understand and know as the people of God, amen, we have to begin to look, amen, beyond the human or the natural resources, amen, which sometimes, as we see now in this season, are beyond our human capability to obtain. So there must be other streams or other resources that we have to depend upon. And I just want to submit to you, my brother and sister, that the resource we need is Jesus. Amen. And we need to look to him from whence cometh our help. Amen. Because all our help comes from the Lord. Amen. So even though, amen, there may be lack, amen, in the world, amen, the world is in turmoil, trying to figure out all the things that must happen. Amen. We must know we got to look to the heavenlies. We got to look to the God of our salvation. Amen. Because how many know God has all sufficiency and power? Amen. So he's able, amen, to do the things that the world can't do. And so we have to draw our attention to the process of God. And because of the fact that God has an overabundance of wealth and riches and sufficiency. Amen. I just want to talk to you about this subject that the Lord gave me some years ago, talking about kingdom economy. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, this is a time to talk about this now. Kingdom economy. Amen. And I don't know about you, but the Lord knows we need some stimulus, but we need to come from God. Amen. Because man's stimulus is limited, but God's stimulus is eternal. Amen. And it's everlasting. So we got to depend on God. And while you're in your living room, while you might be looking around your house and trying to figure out, God, what's our next move? What is our next step? Well, I want you to do, my brother and sister, and look unto the hills from whence cometh your help, because your help, our help, is in the name of the Lord. Amen. And what will God do? Amen. To sustain his people. Amen. So when we look at the transition of this text and this lesson, amen, out of 1 Kings chapter 17, we can see an event that God institutes in order to get his people's attention. And throughout the text, we can see, amen, from the inside of God, amen, even though there is a lack in the land, but yet and still God is in control of the lack. Why? Because God himself sent the prophet Elijah, amen, down to the king Ahab to announce to him that, listen, God is going to hold up the rain. It's not going to be any rain. It's going to be a drought in the land. There's a famine coming. Why? But what we must understand in this, even we're dealing with this kingdom economy of God, we got to understand, why did the rain hold up? Why did there come a famine in the land? Because of the fact the people of God, amen, begin to lift up idol worship. And the northern kingdom of Israel begin to walk in disobedience to God. And so therefore, God sends the prophet, amen, to announce, amen, his judgment in the land. And so God will use, amen, circumstances and situations to cause us to recognize we can't do it without him. But in the process of this, God holding up the rain and allowing of drought to come in the land, amen, it was designed for God to get his people's attention. And we know right now in the world today, we got a drought in the land. There's a famine in the land. And what is it that God is trying to get his people's attention? And I submit to you, amen, that we need to turn back, amen, and turn back to God, because we know we need some rain. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so therefore, because of the idolatry, God began to move against his people to get them back in place and back in position. But in the process, we must understand our help to be sustained is also demonstrated. Even when God will announce judgment, he has already extended mercy. Amen. And his mercy is utilized to help us to know that God always comes with a plan. Amen. God's got a plan to bring judgment, and he also has a plan, amen, to bring victory and sustainment. Even when he is the one who's instituting, amen, this process, so God already knows to what extent his people can go. And he knows what we can handle even in the midst of this virus, amen, of going on in this world today. God knows how far to take us. And so in the process of this lesson, God wants us to see and to understand, amen, that I can still bring judgment. And on the other hand, I can bring blessing. Amen. Because why? He wants to show us that he is a God of mercy as well. Thank you, Jesus. And I have a question for the people of God. How are you, amen, responding to God today? Are we coming back to God? Are we putting away idols? Are we not allowing things, amen, to interfere with our relationship with God? Because certainly we don't want God to hold up the rain forever. We need God to release what? Blessing. We need God to release victory over the house, over the people of God. So I want to just talk about a few things, amen, just to remind us, amen, of our responsibility and how God yet deals, amen, with his own people, amen, even in the midst of a famine. But in the process, God is going to use it to bring us or to show us how he's going to bring us out. And in the midst of it, how he can still sustain his people. Thank you, Jesus. So the first thing I want you to remember today, amen, look at verse 10. Woo, thank you, Jesus. When God had sent the prophet Elijah into the city of Zarephath. Amen. In order to sustain Elijah, God was protecting him. Amen. And therefore, God said he had already commanded a woman, amen, to sustain him. And over in verse 10 of this lesson, amen, the Bible says, so he arose, talking about Elijah, he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, hallelujah, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her. and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So the first thing I want you to remember here is God will refocus our decisions to bring us into a better outcome. Amen. God will refocus our decisions to bring us into a better outcome. Because when we are looking at the extremity of our circumstances, no doubt this woman was preparing for an event that had already taken place. That famine was already in the land. And she was doing things on a limited level. And so sometimes we're starting out one direction, but then the Lord shows up to redirect our focus. Because God has a blessing and a miracle in line for his people, but he must first challenge us at the place of our need. And so when you are moving in one direction and the Holy Ghost come and interrupt your direction to let you know, I'm coming to refocus you, because you don't even know it yet, but you got a better outcome. You ought to tell somebody in your family right now, sitting in that living room, amen, I don't care what it looked like, but I want you to know God is refocusing, amen, our decisions to bring us into a better outcome. Thank you, Jesus. People are weary. They're wavery. They're very pessimistic. Don't understand what's going to happen next. But I'm here to let you know, if you hear the voice of the Lord, God will bring us out into a wealthy place. But while you're in your famine, in the midst of the situation and crisis of our lives, yet and still the voice of the Lord is speaking to his people to let us know, don't you dare look at the extreme circumstances and count me out. Hallelujah. You've got to begin to count God in, because God is the only one that can turn this thing around. Somebody say, God will refocus my decision. Amen. And bring me to a better outcome. Amen. The woman was going to do a thing, but God interrupted the situation to announce to her, listen, I need you to do something first. Amen. So because of what God is about to do and to demonstrate, amen, it allowed us to allow God to get our attention. God has to get your attention. I can truly witness, we can all witness and testify, we believe that this virus got our attention. God had to redirect the focus of the world, redirect the focus of the body of Christ to let us know, wait a minute, you ain't gonna operate outside of me. Amen. Because I'm letting you know there's a famine, there's a drought, but I want you to understand there is no drought in God. Hallelujah. Whoop. Lord, y'all making me happy here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Then the second thing I want you to remember this morning is, amen, faith will require more than what you can give. Thank you, Jesus. Faith will require more than what you can give. Thank you, Jesus. Look with me in verse 11 and verse 12. And as the story goes on to say, the prophet Elijah asked the woman, or told the woman, to listen, I need you to get me some water in a vessel that I may drink. But then verse 11 and 12 goes on to say, and she was going to fetch it. Notice what the prophet of God did. Amen. He told her to get some water on the first occasion in verse 10. Then in verse 11, he says she was going to fetch the water. Amen. He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Thank you, Jesus. Notice this now. In verse 12, and she said, here's her response, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse or a pitcher. And so behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and prepare it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. In other words, she did not factor the man of God in the equation. Thank you, Jesus. But God did. Mm-hmm. Because early in the text, God said he had called or commanded this woman to sustain him. Thank you, Jesus. God already foreknew, amen, that she would be in this predicament. But because of what God wanted to demonstrate, amen, using the prophet of God, amen, your faith will require more than what you can give. And so she gave her little schematics and resume of what she had. She evaluated her circumstance as being not much. But see, when you operate from a level of faith, faith don't need much. Amen. All you need is a grain. Come on, somebody, of a mustard seed. You don't need a large capacity for God to move. But what it is, God challenges her, amen, through the prophet of God to help her to see. And when you begin to evaluate your position or your capability, you realize that from a human perspective, you are not adequate enough or you don't have enough. But you must understand, touch somebody. You can touch them in your living room. Amen. Touch somebody. Let them know faith will require more than what you can give. Amen. Because it's not from a human transaction, but it's going to be from a faith transaction. This is what God is requiring her to do, because he said, listen, get me some water and then make me something to eat. Mm-hmm. Everything. What are these things? These are the essentials of life, because you need food and water, amen, to survive. And he challenges her at the right time, amen, in the predicament of her life where she didn't have much to go on. So therefore, she had to act upon faith, trusting and knowing that what God has demanded, amen, he is able, amen, to do, amen, beyond what she could do. And see, somebody, you might be right now trying to figure out your next move. You might be frustrated trying to figure out, God, why in the world are you demanding these things of me? God, why are you asking me to give you some water when I barely got enough strength to get something for myself? And then why would you go further to ask me, amen, to prepare a meal when you know my meal barrel is not well like it should be? But again, God is operating in the level of faith. Lord, help me, somebody. So what is it, this challenge for us is to understand that God still is redirecting our direction and our focus, because he wants to bring us into a better outcome. And therefore, it's going to require us to operate at a level of faith, trusting God, even though we see what we have. When you look at what you have and you say, well, Lord, I need a little more. No, what you need, amen, is to understand your obedience to operate at the level of God will cause things to move and to shift at the right moment of your life. But you got to have the faithfulness and the willingness, amen, to do what's being asked of you, because God will challenge you at your place of need, because he already knows we're in a famine, because he's the one who allowed it. But we must understand, he's already sent a word. He's already sent somebody by to let us know, I'm getting ready to bring you out, amen, into a better outcome. But do you and I, my brother and sister, do we have the faith to believe that God can bring us out? Thank you, Jesus. Somebody said, you better wrap on this kingdom economy. Amen. It's not about the world economy, but it's about God's economy. Because he's the one that's going to bring us through. Amen. Can we celebrate the Lord and tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God again, because our faith must move and it must be elevated. Notice the text again in that verse 11 and 12. And as she was going to fetch it, hallelujah, he called to her. She was going for one purpose, now God adds something else. See, God will only challenge you when he knows you need him more. And he would challenge you at the level of your need. And so he knew her lack was not sustainable, but God knew he had what she needed. And in order to get it to her, amen, he had to require something from her. And so sometimes we're sitting back and saying, God, we need you to do it. We need you to move. But what God is waiting on us to do, amen, is make a step to say, God, I'm going to turn out my idols. Anything that's separating between me and you, amen, I'm going to put it to the side because I need to give you my full and total attention. How many know you need God to move on your behalf? Thank you, Jesus. Now, notice also, I want you to remember this. Amen. Our act of faith. Notice I said in the second point, faith will require more than what you can give. But thirdly, the act of faith will move us into a place of plenty. Our act of faith. Thank you, Jesus. Because you can have faith and not use it. Amen. So, but God not only responds to the woman, amen, through the prophet of God, and she responds back to show what she has. But there is a requirement here that she must demonstrate an act of faith. Hallelujah. The Bible says faith without works is dead. You can say you got faith all day, but if you don't never move, then faith won't move for you. So her act of faith, Lord have mercy, our act of faith will move us into a place of plenty. Notice what the text says in verse 13 and verse 14. And the Bible says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. I wonder how many are afraid right now. But God say, fear not. Go and do. No, check this out now. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore, hallelujah, a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Notice what he goes on to further say in verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. He prophesying right now. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day. Somebody say until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now, this is a revelation here because our act of faith will move us into a place of plenty. Now, he says, now, I want you to go ahead and do what you started to do. You went and started getting me some water. But in the process, I need you to make me some food, too, something to eat. And in the process, your act of faith will cause God to move you into a place of plenty. Because then he prophesies from the word of the Lord and let her know that, amen, the barrel of meal will not waste. Amen. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail. Amen. In other words, what you have right now will not even be able to measure to what you're going to receive through your act of faith. Hallelujah. Somebody right now, God wants you to understand you don't have to worry about where your next meal coming from because your help is in the name of the Lord. And when you understand this economy of God, God is simply waiting on his people to pull on him. Come on, if you seek him, you will find him. Amen. If you knock, the door shall be open. And even though this woman, amen, was in a place where she only had a few things that she could hook up and put together. But the man of God, when he let her know her act of faith, why he said, fear not, but go ahead and do it. I need you to be obedient. That's what he's saying. I need you to be obedient. Amen. Because your act of faith, amen, is going to cause God to move you into a place of plenty. And he's let her know your stuff not going to run out because you started acting like, come on, like many of us do sometimes. We look around in the refrigerator, we look in the, at our money, and we look and say, oh my God, we only got a little bit to operate on. But God prophesies over your lack, amen, and let you know your lack is not going to fail. It's not going to run out. Do you have faith, come on somebody, that you can move this mountain? Somebody right now, you just need to start prophesying over the word of God and let God know by his word, amen, that my substance will not run dry, amen, that God will multiply my seed, come on here somebody, because the stuff she got is only a seed because it will not meet her need. So therefore she must present it to the man of God and allow it to be a seed for her. Oh Lord have mercy. And that seed, because she acted in faith, it caused that seed to multiply. And by the time somebody say, by the time she got to the place where she began to see the manifestation of God, you can understand that, man, things start increasing. I believe right now, hallelujah, I'm prophesying to somebody right now, your stuff gonna just start multiplying. Your stuff gonna just start increasing because you didn't realize God was causing you, amen, to move through an act of faith. You thought that little bit was gonna be lost. That was all you had. But really, my brother and sister, God was simply using it to push you into a place, my God. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. So he can give you plenty. Sometimes we're holding on a little bit and we think that's all we got. But God said, if you transfer it, amen, release it to me, amen, I'll multiply it and cause your stuff to keep flowing. This last point I want to mention to you, amen, he says the lack of provision would be supplemented with kingdom economy. Now, I mentioned to you earlier that God will, amen, refocus our decisions to bring us into a better outcome. Then we said that faith will require more than what we can give. Lord, help us now. And then thirdly, our act of faith will move us into a place of plenty. And then finally, amen, the lack of provisions would be supplemented with kingdom economy. Hallelujah. So when you put it in the master's hand, it's going to increase, because he told it in verse 15 and 16, and it says, and when she went and did. Now, notice this now. This is the act of faith. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he. Now this has already increased. Notice the increase. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, let me slow down a minute. I want to show you this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want you to look back at verse 12 just for a moment. Hallelujah. I just want you to see this in the spirit, because you might go shouting in the living room right now. Look back in verse 12. The Bible says now, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in. Now check this out, this latter part, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. See, she had already pronounced, amen, what her outcome would be. But when there's a prophetic word over your substance, all of a sudden there comes a increase. Because now if you jump back down to verse 15, and it says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she, notice this now, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Verse 12, she said they were going to die. But verse 15 says they're going to live. Amen. So the lack of provision was supplemented with the kingdom economy. In other words, what you thought was going to happen, because God's word is now on it, amen, has just increased in your house. Somebody say, increase just hit my house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, Lord have mercy. And verse 16 says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elisha. In other words, because God said it, surely he would do it. Thank you, Jesus. So you got to know your provisional lack only required God's anointing and his prophetic provision to be placed upon your lack. And by God moving by his own word, even though he himself allowed the famine because of the people's disobedience, but because when there is somebody yet faithful, God will still bless his people even in the midst of a famine, and he will keep you while you're waiting for deliverance. Because Elijah alluded to something in the text. He says, Lord have mercy. In verse 14, he says, I'm getting a little happy, I'm getting close. And he says, neither, look at verse 14, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Somebody ought to say, the Lord is coming back with the glory. Thank you, Jimmy. Tell me it's going to rain again. Yes, it's going to rain again. What do you mean it's going to rain again? In other words, God came to discipline his house. And because of the fact God was the one who orchestrated, but yet still he showed us his mercy. He showed us still he's able to preserve and to keep his people. Even though circumstances and extremities of life may come against us to challenge us, but yet still God is on the throne. And he's able to protect us, and he's able to keep us. All we got to do, just go ahead and repent and come on back to God, because we need the hand of the Lord upon our lives. This woman's faith is a message, I believe, to the church, amen, who are being tested during these days. Amen. When things have shifted, things is happening, but God is challenging his people, amen, to be faithful. Thank you, Jesus. So he say, fear not, amen. Your lack is only a limited time, amen, because God has already breathed upon it, amen, and giving you the provision that's necessary in order to sustain you. Amen. This woman thought it was her last meal. She had given all that she had, but God had required something of her. Amen. To help her to understand there is a miracle coming your house. Amen. Somebody, right now, God is getting you ready for a turnaround, for a miracle. Amen. But you must not faint. You must not give up. When God shows up with a word to announce to you that I am coming to change your circumstance, I believe, amen, in the world today, that God is going to change the circumstance. The world is looking for one way out, but our way out is Jesus. Amen. If we can take this woman's example, as God is calling his people to say, listen, I need you to put God first. Because from everything that the man of God told this woman to do, it relayed to the fact that she had not only to consider herself, but she had to be willing to put God first. And I just want to tell somebody, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these things will be added unto you. But if you're trying to figure out how I'm going to work it out, amen, if you got to know God is the one who's trying to get our attention, amen, so we must know that God has an economy, amen, that has not yet been tapped into. And if we call on the name of the Lord, God will release what is needed and necessary. And I just want somebody to be encouraged. Don't look at the natural things, but for every test and every trial, God is calling his people to come back to God and to come back to understand, I'm the one who's able, amen, to provide and to keep you from falling. For the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he had founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. God is in the business of taking care of his people. For the Bible declares the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And God can turn it whichever way he will. And God will cause the water to come back again in the life of the church. Somebody ought to touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, we're coming back. We're coming back as a people. We're coming back as a church. We're hearing the word of God. And God is going to get the glory. And when God requires his people to put him first, we got to get God the water. We got to draw water. And we got to fix his meal. In other words, get to the master's table that we can be full of its glory. Because when it's all said and done, God said, I'm going to supplement you. I'm going to keep you in the midst of the trial, even though the world is impacted, because I reign on the just as well as the unjust. But how many know, when you look around and wonder how you got over? And I'm so glad to know that we made it by the grace of God. Somebody, when you woke up this morning, did you think about how good God was? You had a roof over your head. You were able to have food to eat. You had clothes to wear. That's God's economy. He will keep his people in the midst of the process. All he wants us to do, amen, is do what is right. Honor the Lord. Tear down our idols and let God be first. Because you must understand, you serve a jealous God. But God will restore his kingdom. He will restore his church. Yes, God. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And when it looks like we're not going to make it, I want you to understand, God is moving us into his economy. He's going to take care of his people. He's going to cover us on his blood. He's going to speak a word to bring restoration. You ought to touch somebody, tell them the church is coming back, and we're coming back with more vigor. We're coming back with more power. The enemy thought he had us, but how many know, because God's on our side, he sent a word to bring us sustainment. He sent a word to bring us provision. It looked like we were going to make it, but the enemy tried to snatch us out, tried to kill us. But God said, wait a minute, I got a word that your meal barrel, your cruse of oil, will not fail. Touch somebody, tell them, we're not going to fail. We're not going to run out. But God is on our side. I got to leave it because I'm feeling a little happy. Because God is on our side. Somebody say, grab hold of God. He's right there to bring us out. The church going to rise. I see this woman as the church rising up from out of the famine. And somebody say, we're coming back with more overabundance. With a word of God that's going to increase the kingdom of God. So we got to have faith. Don't fear. Stay with God. It's getting ready to happen. It's getting ready to hit. The kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent But the violent take it by force. We're not going to die. God going to sustain his church. We're coming back. We're getting alive again with the glory. Hits the house. Our meal barrel. Our joy won't run out. Our praise won't run out. Somebody say, grab hold to this economy. Our help is in the name of the Lord. It's not going to run dry. Oh, Jesus, draw water from out of the well of salvation. We will not be extinguished, but we're going to overflow. Jehovah Jireh, God our provider, will take care of his people. Just hold out. Hold on. God will send the glory. Somebody shout glory. God will sustain us. God will keep us. God will bring us through. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give in. But when you hear and receive the word of the Lord, God said, put me first. Give me some water. Fix my meal first. Hallelujah. And after you have been obedient, then you're going to see a breakthrough. You're going to see an increase. Amen. Hallelujah. Multiplicity. Amen. Over an abundance. An outpouring of God's grace. Amen. From his kingdom economy will hit your house. And folk will look around and wonder, how did you get over? Amen. The church don't have to wonder how we got over. Because we know how we got over. It was by the grace and the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Somebody, I just shout hallelujah right there. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And God, we thank you today. We bless you. We honor you for the victory that we have in Jesus. Give us the grace and the strength to know, oh God, that you have the economy for your people. That you will bless, oh God, our meal barrel. You will bless our oil. That there will be no lack in our house. There will be an overabundance, an over outpouring, hallelujah, of your provision, that you would take care of your people. Hallelujah. We'll look at the crisis. Amen. And we'll say it is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. So we rejoice. We celebrate. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Because we know if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we would have been swallowed up by the enemy. Hallelujah. But thank God, hallelujah, for giving us another opportunity, amen, to come back into fellowship with him. Thank you, Jesus. Don't give up, saints. Don't turn from God. Don't go to idolatry. Amen. Don't walk in disobedience. But stand in the presence of Almighty God. And the Lord will send us a word that will release his people and bring us out in victory. We're coming out. Amen. You are the praise. And we're not waiting, amen, for the government to say this crisis is over. But we are shouting now. Amen. We're not waiting for man to say everything's going to be all right. Amen. We're looking to Jesus to let us know, fear not, neither be afraid. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Be strong. Be of a good courage, for God is on our side. How many know you're going to stand on the economy of God? Hallelujah. Come on and shout, somebody. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Amen. We'll praise them for the victory. We'll praise them for the breakthrough. I prophesy to you, my brother and sister, amen, that whatever circumstance that you may have encountered by reason of this virus, amen, I pray that the mercy and the grace of God will rest on your house. Amen. That the increase of God will come to you, amen, and show you great and mighty things. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And I call you now. Amen. You might be a backslider. Amen. But I want you to go before God on your knees and say, Lord, please forgive me. Or where you're standing, cry out to the Lord. Lord, save me. Forgive me. Wash me, clean me, oh God, because I don't want the rain to be held up in my life. I don't want the victory and the blessings of God to be dried up. Hallelujah. But in the midst of the process, God will still have mercy and show you he's able to take care of his people. Don't you worry. Amen. Don't you fret, my brother and sister. Amen. Your help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. I call forth your strength. Amen. I call forth your courage to be strong in the Lord and know that God is on your side. Father, bless the people of God. Strengthen every household, every family, God, our loved ones, whatever the case might be, whatever the circumstance, God, we let you in, God. We let you have your way. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on the people of God. Save and deliver. Set captives free. Help us to know, God, we are not limited, hallelujah, but we are unlimited in you. Unlimited resources, unlimited capability. Our help comes from you, Lord. Help us depend on you, your people, oh God. Help us to cry to you, God. Seek you, hallelujah, and lean and depend on you for all that we receive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're not just happy, amen, about a stimulus check, but God, we're happy that our name is found written in the Lamb Book of Life. And help us, God, to know your grace, your mercy is much valuable, hallelujah, than a little money. Amen. We appreciate your blessings, but God, we want to look to you, who is our provider. You're our keeper, our sustainer, the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. Come on back to God, my brother and sister. If you're a backslider, come on, open your heart and ask the Lord to renew you to fellowship. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, to renew you in your spirit and in your mind. Don't waver. Amen. Because this world has nothing good to offer you. You need the Lord. Come on back to Jesus. Amen. Playtime is over. Amen. God is seeking to use this situation to redirect our focus, to help us to know we must walk by faith, not by sight. We're living in an unkind world, and we need a powerful God to sustain us and to keep us in this present hour. And how many know he will take care of us from this day forward? In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. May God bless you. May God keep you. Amen. But I'm serious. It's time to get back to God, because we have to let God be first. Have a true relationship with him. Repent of your sin. Invite the Lord Jesus into your heart. Amen. I ask him to wash you, to cleanse you from your sin, and receive you, amen, into his kingdom. Hallelujah. That you will be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, living for him each and every day. When you're weak, I pray you be strengthened in those broken places, in those places of hurt, amen, and pain and agony that you may have experienced in your life that has caused your mindset to be turned away from God. But I call you back into the fold in the name of Jesus. I call you back home, my brother, my sister. You've been out there straggling long enough. It's time to come home. Amen. You belong to God. You don't belong to the devil, but you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already prayed for you. Amen. All you got to do now is receive his love. Amen. Receive his victory on the cross of Calvary. Receive Jesus. Let him in. Come on, don't fight him no more. Come on, you realize you failed God. You realize you walked away from God. But now is the time and the hour to say, Lord, please take me back. You haven't done nothing so deep and dark that God cannot wash you and clean you up, because the Bible has declared, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. So trust his love for you. Come on to Jesus. Amen. He will receive you unto himself. Amen. Be encouraged, saints. Amen. Walk in victory. Amen. Walk in much strength and joy, and knowing that God is on our side, and that we have a kingdom economy that comes only from the Lord. And let's depend on him. Will you do it? Amen. Can you shout hallelujah? Give God the glory. May God bless you. Amen. And be strengthened on this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen.